buyer for it, so I reached out to Lifestyles and they purchased it. It was my mistake as an agent to not do more due diligence in that transfer so that Lifestyles was aware that, hey, there might be some magnet rental issues out there. Lifestyles was the one that brought it to my attention. And as soon as I was aware of that, I sent an email out to all the existing owners in Briarwood saying, I don't know how this happened. It's my own ignorance as 17 years not going through this process. That's why I'm here today. And will continue to stay active in this so that I'm a better agent. I've also made this alert to the agents in our office. But I think it's, unfortunately, it was my thing was, well, it's always been done that way. So unless I hear anything differently, and because I'm not an owner and don't have my ear to the ground on the nightly rental situation, when it was rezoned or stated that it wasn't to be in that capacity any longer, that's when everybody kind of corralled up and said, well, we need to address this and make sure that we go through the proper channel so that we're doing the right thing. So.
I just knew at PNC meetings they had had realtors speak many times in regard to whether there was nightly rental, if it could be allowed or not. So I was kind of surprised that when Scott had all those zoning meetings at all townships so that it would be convenient for the people, that no one ever came forward. That just...
Yeah, and that was part of the pushback that we got from planning and zoning as well, was that they had held several different meetings about it. As far as the notification, I know my clients are not, they don't live here. As far as if any notification was sent out, we don't know of any of that. So we were unaware that things were changing. But like I said, as an agent, as a professional in our area, it's our responsibility to do our due diligence. And I know my wind kind of crossed Charlie's as well, as we're in the process of selling properties and dealing with owners. My owner had no idea that there was any sort of, that they were doing any sort of illegal operation and having an appraisal done here within the last 2 weeks, and the appraisal coming back as an illegal operation, obviously that's raised a lot of red flags with them as owners who have ran a business for several years under, you know, the idea that that's how the association was built. So definitely something that's very eye-opening to a lot of owners, and as a new agent, even seasoned agents, we're always learning new stuff and for things constantly changing. It's just one of those, we're always evolving.
We also wanted to do the right thing. So Mr. Wilson, who I'm representing, which is number 5, the standalone single home, that has an offer on it with a backup offer, and we alerted those people immediately. We said, is even though we've gotten through inspections and financing is all good, until we get this approval, everything stops. And we also pulled back the listings that were being advertised, and anybody currently out there in Briarwood that has expressed selling as a nightly rental, we just said, until we go through the process, if you're wanting to advertise your unit as nightly rental, we can't take the listing, and you shouldn't go out there as nightly rental because you're just going to add to the problems.
And I know it would help PNC if, when you're selling this, a nightly rental, that they would be made aware that they have to pay sales tax.
Correct.
And that it should be posted on the door,
yes,
that who the be responsible, who they could call if there's a problem.
Right. Yeah, there's different channels that we have to go through depending on whether we're in city limits or not, as far as fire inspections, et cetera. So we're fully aware of those processes.
May I just comment on the comments that were stated that there's not a nightly rental service provider there on site? I get it. Our website, we get a lot of people. They'll Google Briarwood. They're staying out there. The water heater goes out, or Foothills or whatever complex. They call me at 10 o'clock at night and they say, hey, I see you represent the association. My water heater went out. I need somebody out here. And they say, I'm sorry, you just hit a neighborhood page. We're not affiliated with the association. You'll need a contact your representative who you leased it from. Because in most of these resorts, unless it's a large resort that has a management company on site usually put there by the developer, there's a lot of resorts here in town that do not have one management company that represents the whole group. Because many of our condominiums allow you to either go through a proper management company, a third party, do it yourself on Airbnb or whatever avenue, in many of our complexes here, there is not an on-site service. And because this was only 6 units out of 10 that were doing nightly rental, to have somebody sit out there on site for those, it would be awesome. And I agree that it would be nice for, if there was any issues out there, there's somebody there on site. And not to say that just because they're not doing it, it's right everywhere else, but I just wanted to make that comment that it's incredibly challenging to have an on-site management company camp out there for the cost.
My understanding, and Scott can correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's not that they're sitting right out there on site. It's posted on the door, the number that can be reached in case there's a problem. And if that was done, they wouldn't be calling you. They'd be calling whoever was supposed to be responsible in case there was a problem. Is that correct, Scott? That it has to be posted?
There's a local representative requirement. It's not an on-site representative. Local representative is a Tenney County or an adjoining county resident available 24/7. Once you get your permit, then that requirement of that posting kicks in. Your representative's on the posting. That's posted by the front door within 5 feet on the inside and outside in case someone gets locked out of the unit. So no, there's not an on-site representative requirement. It's just a local representative that can be contacted if there's an issue.
Is that for special use permits only, or is that for rezoning as well?
That's for conditional use permits only, and also it refers to the rezoning section 24 to be complied with, which that's in section 24.
You know, the thing I understand the need for that, but then it goes back to the citizens next door. If there is an issue, who are they supposed to contact? And most aren't going to contact law enforcement. Most are just either going to deal with it, complain about it, and rightfully so, or they're just going to, but they're not going to, they don't have anybody to contact. Again, in a resort area, you've got a front desk. You can go to that front desk. Hey, here's the issue. And then get taken care of. So, we, like I said, we just need to figure out, and not just in this situation, countywide, we've got to figure out how to best handle those types of things. So,
can I ask Sheila a question as far as the taxes go? Because there seems to be some questions about how you're paying taxes if you're paying commercial tax or whatnot. Does the county automatically, for a condo owner, say if you're in a nightly rental area that you are commercial, and it's up to the owner to say, hey, I'm doing residential? Because it was my understanding that many years ago, it was up to an owner to alert the county that I'm doing nightly rental. Will you please raise my taxes? And unfortunately, a lot of people weren't willing to make that call. So could you please clarify how, if you are on nightly rental, taxes?
And I know you asked Sheila specifically. The assessor is the taxing authority for the county. We have no say in that. Is that?
There was a ruling through Board of Equalization on it. And there has always, for many years, been letters sent out to any of the condo owners, the list, asking them if they're on the nightly rental program, and if so, how they ran. They've been sent out every year. Been sent out for many years. That's by the assessor. And as to right now, and there's statute that the assessor is to go by, but right now, the question you need to ask, you do need to ask our assessor. We have a new assessor.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Barbara Queen from Mile Park, Arkansas. My son spoke to me earlier. I want to attest to that fact. My husband and I bought our unit at Redbud approximately in 2016. And every year, I get that letter. My husband has, you know, since passed away, but I get that letter every year from the assessor, and I fill it up, do not rent at all, and send it back in. I don't just ignore it because it doesn't apply to me.
I will attest to that there are title companies that tell you not to fill that information out because we are a non-disclosure state.
That has to do with, but you, what you sell it for, it has nothing to do with what you, the use is.
They're not asking you for the price. It's
is
not.
That
that's
on
not
the
letter.
Form?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's, I would also comment to another person saying, you know, they don't live here in Missouri. I don't either. But I also receive letters from the counties. My son commented, we own other properties in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Florida, and Texas.
Yes, it doesn't
matter. And if there's a change of anything that affects any government entity, I get a letter. Whether it's a rezoning or just, hey, they're going to change the direction of the highway in front of the property or anything like that, I get a letter.
Yeah, it's sent to the letter that you have given on your tax bill. It's sent to the address that you have given
it's
the assessor.
It's sent to my address and the owner of that affected property.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to speak about one point. It was said that a lot of the owners, when they bought or sold the property, the realtor told them it was not a rental, it was were allowed. And we had a neighbor in 102 next door to us sell their or buy their property, and the realtor advertised on the MLS that the carport came with the unit. Well, they bought it, lived next to us, parked in the carport for about 2.5 months, and then the owner of the carport, the person who had the exclusive right to use paper, which was a legal paper, kicked him out and said, I own this carport. When the realtor told them that they owned it and they were using it for months. And so when you're talking about due diligence and the due diligence was done and that they were not in rentals, it might not be the case. You have to look a little bit further, you know. And I just wanted to bring up that example because I think that the due diligence lesson from that example applies to the nightly to the person being told it is nightly rental and it may not be. You know, that's up to the person who buys it, I thought. But anyways, that's all I needed to say.
Scott, was it ever thought when an individual condo would come to you, was it ever thought of suggesting that they go for a conditional use permit to PNZ?
Well, I had that thought, but I mean, they all wanted to rezone, which I understood the reasoning for rezoning. That was an option that I always thought could be considered.
Did I understand that PNZ is given the right to do a resolution to rezone by area like all the rest of Tannehill County, like to rezone a section instead of taking condo to condo, that PNC can make a resolution to?
There is a section that says an owner, a leasee, or on the own planning commission's feel of a need, they could send a resolution to the county commission to rezone parcels without an application from an owner or leasee.
So what's before us now? The individual one in the upper right, mm-hmm. And then three
four
or four
of these,
and then four of those,
okay. And then this individual house, total of six.
Four okay, of the and eight, house down there,
and that single family home and that single family home. Correct.
It'd be the common element too, would it not?
There's 10 total units.
The parcel numbers in the applications only refer to the condominium units.
But
so no, deeds. No, not the common elements.
But their deeds list that.
Their deeds probably read the unit, but then does it include the common elements as a use that they can use?
According to the declaration of condominiums filed in the book 207, page 15, 280, any amendments thereof, together with the corresponding share of common elements and limited common element thereof. No. How would you take that?
Well, I didn't get an application for their share of the common elements. I don't know how we could
If you click on their individual parcel from the assessor's office,